Point of view
on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.
Let's chat to Prof. Musa Mashabela about the UK's red list, which has South Africa on it. Prof. Musa, good evening. How are you doing?
Good, Oliver. Greetings to you and to the listeners. Thank you for the invitation.
Bizarre story, at least bizarre to me. Perhaps I don't know the minutiae of it enough to be able to understand why. Maybe there's a good enough reason why South Africa is on the UK's red list travel ban, right? And of course, there's a big issue because the UK is a big trade partner with South Africa, and a lot of countries across the European Union takes their lead sort of from the UK. South Africans are not allowed to travel to the UK outside of the strict protocols that existed before we even had vaccines. Why are we on that list? Do they not trust our vaccine program?
Yeah, it's an important question, Oliver, and this is the problem, because the way it was portrayed, it was a statement that said in the headline that we will be considered non-vaccinated, and by implication, when you say that, someone who doesn't delve deeper into the story and just looks at it on the surface, then they're going to come up with all sorts of theories around that. And if a country like the UK says that your vaccination doesn't count, you're considered unvaccinated, then you will automatically think that it means that your vaccines are not recognized by the UK. And that does not make sense, because then we're using the same vaccines as the rest of the world. But it didn't really help the sort of efforts really that we are having to try and encourage people to get vaccinated. It caused harm in them saying that, and that's the problem. Yeah. But when you look deeper into the issues, the things that they would raise are things to do with difficulty proving vaccination, the need to quarantine and to pay all these fees that are required. And it does look like there's a financial model to what they're doing. My sense is that most of the countries on that list are mostly countries from the global south. Was only the exception of Kenya that
Egypt
Kenya was exempted. And when you looked at it, Kenya was made amber, we were red, and you ask yourself, what's the difference? You think it's the case numbers, but no. The main difference is that Kenya received 70,000 doses from the UK directly of AstraZeneca vaccine. So there is a diplomatic relationship that exists. On the other hand, we bought 1 million doses and got rid of it and dumped it right away of AstraZeneca vaccine. So you then wonder whether there is also a diplomatic tension. And it was interesting to see the DECO response to this yesterday, wanting to actually to get answers around it. And I did think that it's more of a diplomatic issue than it is of a scientific issue. It has nothing to do with that.
So there's absolutely no clinical, there's no clinical reason for the UK to keep South Africa on the red list.
Absolutely none. One would have argued that, okay, maybe it's because they're concerned about the variants that may come from here. Maybe they're concerned about, people not being able to prove vaccination or maybe fake vaccination cards and so forth. But actually, that can come from anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
It may not necessarily be South Africa only. And it can also come from global north countries that they are allowing in. So, and for us, meant that there is really no scientific clinical reason for that. In fact, today, Germany removed South Africa from the high-risk list. So if Germany can do it, why is it that the UK does not do it, except if it's for other diplomatic or political reasons?
Let's talk about that diplomatic reason, right? So South Africa was the first country in the world to dump AstraZeneca as a vaccine, because at the time we were going through our second wave, of which a deadlier variant was prevalent in the country, right? And I think AstraZeneca's efficacy rate dropped from being in the high 80s to being in the low 60s, or perhaps even in the 50s. You'd know the number better than I do as far as its efficacy against the variant that we had prevalent at the time, which was dubbed globally the beta variant, if I'm not mistaken. So South Africa says, we're not going to be using that at the moment. We will give these away, or we will sell it, which then did happen, right? consequent to that, do you think that the UK took exception to that? Do you think their feelings were hurt, effectively, what I'm asking? Because the AstraZeneca vaccine was heavily funded by them as far as their research is concerned, because it was developed in Oxford, right? Which is, I guess, the symbol of, you know, European imperialism globally as far as education, culture and medicine is concerned. And so they said, we pumped a lot of money into this and South Africans are just going to dump it like this. Do you think their feelings were hurt?
Well, you know, I'm not aware of anything explicit that was said about this. I do remember at the time that they were also dealing with the Alpha variant. Our variant was a little bit more serious than theirs. The Beta variant was a little bit more serious than the one that was found in the UK. But nevertheless, it was peculiar, the fact that at the time, they blocked South Africans from traveling to the UK at that time. And everybody asked questions, why is the UK doing that? So there's been a pattern of the UK having certain reactions of restricting South Africans in terms of travel ever since then, more than other countries, even though they have not outright came out and said that they don't like. And you'll remember, they've even said things publicly that were not kind to South Africa. And so I think that, you know, we cannot be naive about this. We have to recognize that there is a problem here, and that problem needs to be addressed through diplomatic channels. I can tell you that, you know, AstraZeneca is one vaccine that is already authorized in South Africa. And when the Delta took hold, there was consideration from the South African government to think whether we should now order the AstraZeneca vaccine, because it was working well. Yeah. Against the Delta, but it didn't go ahead because we still have very good vaccines.
Yeah.
And even AstraZeneca vaccine in the UK, it shows that it still performs slightly lower than the Pfizer that they're also using.
We're in conversation with Prof. Musa Mashabela, and we're talking about South Africa being put, or at least kept on the red list by the United Kingdom, and what that means for the global outlook of the South African vaccine program. Prof. Musa, thank you so much for staying with us. Before we went to the break, I said to you, I do want us to take a look at our own vaccination program and do some comparative analysis over there. By the time the UK put out the statement, which is on the 18th of September, which is a few days ago, it was like two, three days ago, right? We had vaccinated 16 million South Africans. Is that a number that we should be proud of and happy with at this point?
So we had given 16 million doses, right? And if you look at the actual number, as of today, actually, the number of South Africans that are fully vaccinated, and these are adults of 18 plus, 18 and above, this is just about 3,000 shy of 8 million people. And remember that our denominator here is 14 million. So this is now 20% of the adult population in South Africa. So one in every five adults who is 18 and above is now fully vaccinated.
So it should, at this rate, how long should it take us to get to that 40 million denominator? I'm estimating here 8 months. You can correct me.
So I think that by end of November, which is really the main target, we will probably be at about, if we continue at the same rate, we'll probably be at about 50%. And this is provided we are, you know, vaccinating 200,000 a day and above. We'll be at about 50% fully vaccinated. And 50% fully vaccinated by end of November, Oliver, is a really good number. Because then it will really help. And partially, right now we are about nearly 30% partial vaccination of all adults. So you'll have people who have received one dose, but are not yet fully vaccinated. But if you have about 50% by end of November fully vaccinated, if we continue at the same rate, it's really, really good for a program in Africa. And I hope that we can get there. Right now we are at 20%. And remember, we only started really in the middle of May with the general public. And if we have come this far now with all the slow doses that came through until we got to this point, I think that we've done well. I think the disease itself, it's such an emergency from a public health point of view. It demands that we do more and we go faster so that most people are vaccinated, because every person who's vaccinated contributes to the prevention of severe death and mortality. Yeah. But I can tell you that I'm a little bit I'm a little bit more relaxed now. I think that we have the space to ramp up vaccination, because even the cases today were about 1,500. Positivity is about 7%. We are really coming out of the third wave, and that with a Delta variant like Delta to come out of the third wave, Oliver, it's really positive. It gives us the space. It gives the health
absolutely
space to be able to ramp up vaccination.
I mean, we're sitting on a 94-95% recovery rate about, which is healthy, which means that, you know, like 19 out of every 20 people that get COVID-19 do survive at this stage and recover from it, which is a healthy indicator for our recovery. But you estimating around November, we might hit the 50% mark. We, about a month or two ago, we started hearing reports of a fourth wave hitting us around December, November, that time frame. Do you think we're obviously playing catch up here, right, to sort of prevent that fourth wave? A fourth wave is not a scientific inevitability. Do you think we'll catch up fast enough? I mean, I don't know scientifically 50% is good enough a number to say we're going to escape this fourth wave.
Sure. If you think about it, places like the UK, they started to relax their restrictions when they are about close to 60%. And so I think that 50% will go a long way in protecting a lot of South Africans in the event that we have a fourth wave in December, which is why I was calculating it in terms of what is it that is possible by end of November. Because then that means that half of the people that could potentially be exposed could be protected, depending on what kind of variant we're dealing with, depending on exactly when a fourth wave might start, depending on how our health system is operating, depending on whether our vaccination rollout continues at the pace. You know, it depends on a number of things that we have to consider. But these are sort of general estimates that if we can play our part in pushing the vaccination to be at least 50%, then we could make a dent into the sort of risk of hospitalization, severe disease, and death that might come from a fourth wave. This is the kind of thing that we wanted to achieve before the third wave.
We could have,
if we started in February with a whole lot of doses, we could have then have limited the extent to which a third wave might actually cause damage.
Or at least the amount of death that took place during the third wave would have been significantly mitigated. Exactly. Just a final question, very briefly, 1 minute on this. Have we reached a stage where we're able to model scientifically the impact that hesitancy will have on the vaccination program? That's to say, do we know what percentage of the country is hesitant at this stage and will remain so for a while, to the point where we can calculate how soon we can get to that 40 million mark, or how far the vaccine hesitant people are going to keep us away from that 40 million mark?
Yeah, so the South African government aims to reach 70% of the 40 million, which is not unreasonable. But I think that depending on the kind of variant, if you've got a highly transmissible variant, you need to achieve more than that. You need to go in the upper 80s in order to make a difference in terms of coverage. But I would say that what we know at the moment is that hesitancy is about between 62% and about 76%. So on average, we're looking at about 70% hesitancy. There's a few people who are neutral, say about 10%, who are on the fence and can be convinced. And then we estimate that there is about 10% or less of people who are a complete no-no. So it's below 10%. We estimate somewhere between 5% and 10%. It might be about 7 or 8%. But that is the group that is a complete no-no. The rest of the people can actually be encouraged and given time to process and yeah. to make that decision.
Yeah. I mean, 10% is not all that bad a number because it doesn't prevent us from reaching herd immunity altogether. Yeah. So that's a positive signal. Prof. Musa, thank you so much for your time. Really do appreciate it. Hope we can speak soon again.
Point of View
on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.